Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. I have no idea what's going to happen in the next few minutes because that's nothing unusual for me. I never do. I talked to Brother Roy Rigdon last night. And I said I had hoped that maybe things had come together so far as a sermon better. And he said, well, you'll probably just talk to him in the morning anyway. Brother Brad asked me one night during the revival, had I tried to stand up and preach for 30 minutes? And I said, no. He said, well, you might want to practice. And I said, well, I said, I'll just go as long as I can. And when I quit, if I quit early, they'll like it. So I have so many things in my heart I'd love to say and I want to say. I want to say, first of all, thank the Lord for my family. Thank the Lord for my wife. And she's been sick through all of my experiences, and she's kept right on going, and she's been there. I want you to pray for her. She has a stone that will not roll away, and it's not her fault. There's so many things that we could write a book about what's gone on at the hospitals and all, and we hope maybe sometime this week that all will be behind us forever. So thank the Lord for her. I do, and for my children and grandchildren. And they have been so helpful. And I could not begin to express my gratitude to all of you here in the building and in the radio audience and really all over everywhere. And the cards and the letters that we've got and phone calls, the gifts, monetary and every other way. The food that you brought by the house, knowing that you love us and pray for us. And that is such a blessing to my heart. And I thank the Lord for that. Last time I got up and said something, I left out so many people, and I hope I didn't do it this morning, but I thank the Lord for all of you here at the church. There's nothing like having friends, but to have Christian friends and folks you know that it's more than just saying, I feel for you or whatever, but to know that they're touching heaven for you. That's what makes a difference. I want to recognize, and Brother Danny and I had talked about this, and what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to try to testify a little bit along about what we've been through, but it's all about what God's done. I love the song Brother Randy mentioned, couldn't hardly believe every night Brad and all the music fit, and that's exactly right this morning. I'll get through this just quick as I can, and we'll share some things with you. But when I was taken to the hospital, the first two or three days, I didn't know a whole lot of what was going on. But on Wednesday, after I went on Saturday, I asked Brother Tim if he could come, get the guys together and come. I talked to him about what they need to do and to take over and to do things. And I had absolutely no question mark in my mind about what God could do with these men, because I've seen him do it over 15 years now. I never worried about the church because I know your heart. I thank you for loving me and I thank you for praying for me. But I know why you come Sunday after Sunday, because you love the Lord. And that's what makes the difference. But we did one of this morning for those who spoke. And I tell you, I want to thank the Lord for Jim, Joe Barry, and all the guys who do the E-Team, ladies who help. It's a blessing from heaven. It is an outreach ministry. And since I've been in the hospital, my heart has really been overwhelmed and blessed by the media outreach. I told Jim that I watched outside the national broadcast, like David Jeremiah and Charles Stanley and everything else, our internet broadcast quality-wise, color-wise, and the people that are on the program and the presentation, how God's Holy Ghost worked. I didn't see a program that was comparable to what these guys do over the internet. And I thank the Lord for that. And it's kind of burdened my heart about we need to do more of that. But anyway, I was blessed by every sermon. I appreciate so much all of the men who spoke. I want to ask some of these men to come to the platform. And Brother Dan and I talked about it. If you would, men, if you just come and stand with me for a few minutes, we have something we want to give you from the church. First of all, I'll say a word about them as they come, maybe, but I want them all to come up, and then I'll just give them what we've got here for them. Brother Tim Boone, I want you to come, Brother Tim. And I have been so blessed. Brother Tim and I have been together a long time, not just here. But I saw him as a young man, and he had the touch of God on him. And God put our hearts together years ago in Valdosta. And I remember we'd prayed so about somebody to come and help, and we'd got resumes from everywhere, and God never would speak to my heart. And then Brother Tim called out of the blue, and we talked from time to time. And he said, "Brother Billy, God's burdened my heart to resign the church and do full-time camp ministry." And I said, "Well, Brother Tim, I pray with you." And just so happened there's a camp here, and he was going up to see Wendy's parents and coming up this way. And I said, "Come by, and we'll look at it, and we'll pray." And we didn't have any idea what God was going to do, and it's astounding what God's done. But then after he'd been here for 1 year, totally living by faith, and we talked together, and of course they jumped right in and went to work. I talked with the men, and we prayed about it, talked with the church, and I several people, and there's nothing wrong with it, but if we did it, they wanted to have a job description, and they wanted to have how many hours he's going to work. And you may not remember, but I told you something. I said, "The only thing I'd worry about Brother Tim and Wendy is that they'll work too much. I'm not worried about them because I know what it means to be in ministry. Now, if you're a professional preacher, that's different. You want to hire a professional preacher, you can hire one. But I'm just telling you, when God puts a call on a man, you don't have to do anything like that. God's in control of his life. I appreciate so much Tim and Wendy, and I appreciate them. And Brother Tim, I'll give you this in a few minutes. Brother Barry Barber, Brother Barry, if you'll come, I'll tell you, when Tim told me, he and I had talked about it, and I'd spoke to a few men, and our original plan was to have a few days just prior to Brother Randy coming. Boy, I'm sure glad what Brother Tim and the men decided to do. They had a whole month of emphasis on prayer. And when Tim said they asked Brother Barry to do the first one, I said, "You couldn't have picked a better man." Over 44 years of ministry, God has given me some wonderful friends. And I have met and fellowshipped and heard the greatest preachers in America. And I've had many of them in my church, in churches where God let me pastor. But I'm going to tell you, the men in this church who serve, and some serve as deacons and some as teachers and everything else, you'll not find greater Christians, more dedicated men to the Word of God, or anybody who'd love a church and love the souls of men more than any other. And I'll tell you, I'm on the top of my list of men that I've met over all these years that I have confidence in. Brother Barry Barber is at the top of that list. Brother Brad Thompson, at a time when we need Brother Brad come, at a time when we were in a transition, I went over to Four Oaks to see, I believe, Black Creek sing. And I met for the first time Brother Brad and April personally. And immediately God spoke to my heart. And we began to pray. And I'm going to tell you right now, I told Brother Randy and I talked about it. I said, "I hope that somebody like Charles Stanley or some of these other big churches don't ever get to hear Brad." We had a national long singing group come through here, and they talked to Brad about joining their group. And he said, "Preacher, will you pray?" I said, "I sure will." And God answered my prayer. I love Brad. He did a tremendous job on the night that he spoke, and back when he preached on the stones that night. Brother Calvin Ramsey. Brother Calvin has a call of God on his life. You've been praying for him. But he, to me, I see God all over this man. God has put a call on him in the ministry and in mission, in ministering to the prisons. And what a message he brought, and challenging us to pray more, and be in the prayer room and sit before God. He preaches more. I told Randy, I said, "Brother Calvin probably preaches more every week than most preachers in this country." And I appreciate him so very, very much, and love him in the Lord. Brother Gary Snow. Brother Gary, if you'll come. And I went in the hospital, and God began to speak immediately. I thought Brother Tim's going to be an able leader, and God, Brother Tim, take care of everything. And I wanted some continuity for Wednesday night. And Brother Gary Snow, I believe, for a young man, is one of the best Bible teachers I've ever heard. God used him in the Bible Institute. I don't even worry about the Bible Institute. I don't have nothing to do with it. He's done a tremendous job there. But oh boy, listen, on the seven letters to the seven churches, boy, I learned things. And I listened every Wednesday night, and my heart was blessed. In fact, I asked him if he would do something for me, and he's not like me. My stuff's just scattered like you do chicken scratch everywhere. And I said, Brother Gary, I wish you'd take those studies and get them to where Miss Trudy could compile them and run them out. You know, he said, I've already got them like that. And so we want to try to get those together and make them available. How many of you would like to have a copy of that stuff? That's what I thought. Amen. Brother Kerry Watkins, preacher, can you come? I want you to come. My first Sunday back that I was able to get back, I was so blessed to get to come. I really want to be here when Brother Kerry stood up to preach. This man right here, to me, is a giant. He is. Books are written about men of God of this caliber. And he comes in and out of this building, and we are honored to have Dr. Kerry Watkins here. And what a message he brought. Boy, I tell you, just the fire in his heart, and what a blessing it was. And I love Dr. Watkins. He has been my friend. He comes, he says, Pastor, I want to talk to you about something. He's always got a little list. And he comes in and he'll go down that list. Boom, 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 boom. And we'll pray. But he's had wonderful counsel. I've asked him some of the things. Brother LaVon is not here. But I want you, I know you have, but would you, with me, let's once again thank these men for what God's used them to do. God bless you. I love you. God bless you. Bless your heart. Brother Barry, I love you. Hey, man. No, sir. No, sir. That's right. Make sure it's right. Brother Brad. Amen. Let me see. Brother Kerry, I gave you the wrong one. What's that say? Kevin. Okay. I saw the C part. Love y'all. God bless you. Thank you, men. Amen. I'm okay. All right, open your Bibles to Psalm 34. Where'd Danny go? Anybody got any reading glasses? I came off without my glasses. I looked at it, I told Brother Danny, I said, I'll be all right, and I opened it, and I found out I wasn't. Thank you, Brother JC. I love you, buddy. Psalms 34. I never have been able to see that clock. I don't know if I said anything I was supposed to say about thanking you or not. I don't think I could thank you enough. I will say this. I've kept every card, every letter. I've gone through them twice. When I was in the hospital and couldn't see, couldn't focus, and couldn't really read. And Regina and Becky, Melissa read them all to me. And my heart was thrilled. Psalms 34, one verse. And God laid this verse on my heart before I ever left the hospital, that I was supposed to read this morning. Psalms 34. Look with me at verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You and praise You for what You've done, and I magnify Your name. What a name. Father, I'm thankful that, God, You've been good and gracious to me and Regina. Thank You for her. Thank You for my children, for the grandchildren. God, how they've been so supportive and been with us, for all of our church and church family and extended church family across this nation. God, I want to thank You. And our Father, this morning, we think of several of our church families not able to be here. We pray for, Lord, for LaVon this morning, for Miss Sylvia, pray for Miss Adeline, and God, for Lord, for Becky and Linwood, and God, for all those who are not able to be here for sickness, and others who are out of town and told me they really wanted to be here, but they had to be out of town. God, I pray You'd bless them. Now, God, I pray you'd speak to my heart, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible is God's holy word. Gary, when he was teaching on the book of Revelation, said, actually, the name Revelation, it says the revelation of John, but it's not really the revelation of John. It's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify me. I've said, and other preachers have said it, that the Bible is our handbook. It's our guide. It's things for us. But the Bible does have instruction for us, but this Bible's about Him. It's all about Him. In fact, everything that goes on is about Him. It's all for His glory. The Bible said that we were created for His pleasure. God made us for His pleasure. And He takes pleasure in us. And throughout the Word of God, He does that. On Monday, I don't remember the exact date now, but July, I know that first, the first part of the week that started for me a lot of great adventures. On Monday, I got up early like I always did and read my Bible and prayed, had a little bite to eat, left, went to Chapel Hill, drove to Chapel Hill, went up on the top floor. Years ago, I quit trying to find a park anywhere else. But in Chapel Hill, I went up to the top floor and parked. And I always like to walk down. I come down the steps and walk that long walkway all the way over to the latest part. Went up and saw Miss Adeline, came back. And as I walked along, I was proud. 65 years old, I was out walking most of them other people. You know what I found out in all this experience? Pride is a wicked sin. In fact, it's probably one of the most wicked sin. If anybody's a drunk, they know they drink. If anybody commits other sin, they know that. But something about pride that hides itself deep in the recesses of our heart. And we have certain prides that God would have us to be reminded of. Sometimes people say this to me, and I've said it too, that God will get us in a place where we'll lay on our back or be in a place and He'll be able to speak to us and tell us what He wants us to do. But you know what? I think sometimes He doesn't want to tell us anything. He just wants us to focus on Him. He just wants us to take time to see Him and understand how awesome He is. And you and I sometimes get so busy in the work of the Lord, we forget the Lord of the work. His intended coming, Brother Ray mentions from time to time a message God burdened my heart with about Emmanuel, God with us. Can you imagine that this great God wants to be with us? He wants to live with us. He wants fellowship with us. He wants to walk with us and spend time with us. But He wants us to spend time with Him, to honor Him and magnify Him. On Tuesday, I don't remember exactly what I did on Tuesday morning, but on Tuesday afternoon late, I had gone and got CDs. I think maybe when I came through Raleigh on Monday, I picked the CDs up and took them to Mitchell and Sivius about 8 o'clock that night. And I pulled up. Mitchell was already come out to the Bible Institute. Amber was there, and Sylvia sent her out. And most of the time, they pack our CDs in smaller boxes. On this particular day, they had put 1,600 CDs in one box and 600 in another, 1,400 in one box, 6 in another. Amber came out and said, Mama said for you to help. And I said, can you tote that box right there? It's pretty heavy. And she grabbed it and went on. And I took the other big box. It wasn't unusually heavy, maybe 120 pounds, something like that. But I took it out of the back of the truck, walked in the house, set it down where Miss Sylvia pointed. And I said, Miss Sylvia, that's going to be in the middle floor. This is a big box. And let me move it. And I moved it over to a little place. We stood there and talked a few minutes. I came out and got the truck. That was on Tuesday. Wednesday, Regina was supposed to have lipotripsy. And so the doctor wanted her to drink just gallons of fluid the next day. And so I had gone by I left there to go to Food Line to buy a bunch of stuff for her and to drink. And when I got to Food Line, just from Miss Sylvia's around there, I couldn't hardly get out of the truck. I had a problem. My back was hurting, the lower back. And I had a little problem there before. And so I went on in and when I got home, I couldn't hardly get out of the car and out of the truck. But I got in, got the stuff in the house. And I had got a call from Brother Gary Gaither, our truck driver friend. And he had wanted me to meet him at 10:30 that night up at Sadler's. He's coming through, first time he'd been through here in a long time. And so I promised him I'd meet. And the time I got things in the house, I couldn't hardly walk. And I laid down on some ice packs. And about 10 o'clock, I told her, I said, I've got to go see Gary. And so I got up, and I just hurt all the way up there. I was just really in pain when I was up there. And come back Wednesday morning, I couldn't hardly go. And Charles came and took me over to the chiropractor, and Melissa went on with Regina to Smithfield. And I told my doctor, I said, I've got to go. And my wife's over at the hospital. And he said, you don't really need to go. But if you'll stay in a wheelchair and put ice packs on, you can do it. So I that's what I did. She's pushing two wheelchairs and trying to... Now, they were looking at me and thought I was the patient most of the time. But most of you know about the how all that turned out. And but Thursday morning when I woke up, I couldn't move my right arm. It was in such pain. I couldn't even raise it from my side. And I went on back. I think Regina took me Thursday back to the chiropractor. And there was no relief. It got worse and worse. Long story, on Saturday she called the rescue squad to come get me. I could not walk. I couldn't stand. I was in the worst pain I've ever been in my life. And they took me into Wake Hospital. And the next few days are kind of a blur to me. Some of you came and left in intensive care, and I don't remember everybody. But what had happened, and I don't know why, and the doctors don't know why, I don't know how it happened, but I had staph infection already in my bloodstream. It had settled in my shoulder because I had an injury that had been going on for some time. I had a torn rotator cuff, and I didn't know it was torn. I just knew it hurt. And then it settled in my back. They had called in orthopedic neurosurgeon and a infectious disease doctor, and they came in and told me that I had that staph in my bloodstream. It was going all over my body. It was attacking all my organs. And it had settled primarily in my back for some reason. And the doctors, we talked about different things it could have been. But he said, absolutely not. Don't have any idea. But I was hemorrhaging from my spine. And then it had settled in my arm. And they worked with me there in intensive care. And you were praying, folk were praying. And then I went through all the other processes, a long thing. But whenever I got better, they moved me to a step down. And, of course, they were working me the whole time and put me on morphine and everything. And I don't know how many CAT scans I had or how many MRIs I had. And I know on a Sunday I was in the MRI 2 hours. It was an hour without the injection and then an hour with the injections. And they were checking everything. My liver functions, enzymes had gone up or whatever, and my kidney functions had gone down. But God worked through all that. God blessed. And the doctor came in after they moved me to a step down, infectious disease doctor. And he had, you could tell they were all concerned. He said, I think I've got you past the life-threatening stage. And I don't know when that was, but on Thursday of that week, I crashed again, went through the whole thing. But with my shoulder, they had done some MRIs, done one MRI, and the lady came down and she said, have you ever had an MRI? And I said, I had one yesterday. She said, this is a little bit different. She said, this is a little bit more confining. And I had to get in a thing and it's lay on a thing and slide up to where I get my shoulder up in something. And then she said, put your arms up on your chest, your legs. And when they did, boy, it closed and I felt like a vein of sausage in that thing. It was a lot tighter than the other one. It was just real tight. And she told me, she said, now, preacher, said, I can play you some music. What would you like? I said, I want gospel music. Gospel music. When she closed that thing up and they put it in there, she said, well, here we go. And she turned on the gospel music. She played Vince Gill. And it said this, go rest high on the mountain. Your work on earth is through. I said, Lord, I'm going to heaven in a vein of sausage cap. But to be honest with you, I was hurting so bad, I really didn't care. I have to say this, at Wake Hospital, I had the very best nurses and doctors, and all those people took good care of me. They really did. And I had some wonderful experiences, and God was so good. I'm not a very good witness sometimes, I don't think, but I met a lot of people that in the staff there. There were Christian people who prayed for me and everything else. I said all that. I don't go into all detail. I just want you to know. And, of course, you know that I was in the hospital 19 days. And then while I was there, they started the high-powered antibiotic on me. And about 2 weeks into it, I broke out in a rash all the way around my body. And it was just really something. And anyhow, they were hoping it was something else, some sort of pain medicine they gave me, but it turned out it was the antibiotic, and so they had to change. But I kept that rash for about 3 weeks, and I told Regina that was worse than the pain, because that pain, they give you morphine. And that was an experience, the morphine. Did you know that you can, on morphine, you can dream and be wide open, wide awake? I'd close my eyes and I'd tell the family what all I see, and I don't know what all I said. I hope I didn't say anything bad. But dream weird stuff. And I, of course, I slip on and off, and had a preacher, Brother Scott Hefner, came, and he said, "You didn't know you was in the world." He was sitting down outside the bed and prayed for me. And you may have come, and I didn't know you were there. But anyhow, God was so good. But I don't know if I was awake or dreaming or what, but I thought I was in hell, because it was this big old dark, and I could see fire, you know, glowing and all of that. And I said, "Lord." And then I realized, I looked, and there was a big old turkey in there. And what it was like one of those big ovens where they cook pizzas in, one of them open ovens like that. And Becky, she's taken all interpretation, dream art business in her training, and we always tell her our dreams, and she tells it. And I told her about that, but she didn't know what that meant. But while we were standing there talking, they brought my lunch, and when we took the lid off, there was a quarter of blackened chicken laying there. And Becky just said, "Well, that was a prophetic dream, is what you had." So. But I went through all of that. God was good, and He's blessed me through it all. I was in pain, a lot of pain, but I never had any fear. I got very emotional. I couldn't talk with the guys. Other people come in, I couldn't hardly talk with them. Everything I talk about, I get to crying. I don't know why it was. I wasn't afraid. I was just that way. And God was good to me, and I thank the Lord for it. My doctor, after a few days, my infectious disease doctor came in. He sat on the side of the bed. And maybe the same time he told me that he'd gotten through the life-threatening stage or what. But anyhow, he said, "Preacher," he said, I know already that you are a type A personality. You want to go, wide open all the time." He said, "You ain't going to be able to do that." He said, "You'll want to, but your body's not going to let you." And he said, "I want you to know this is going to be a long-term thing." He said, "You'll get to feeling better after a while, but you won't be well." And he said, "You'll have to go a long time to get well." And I don't know what kind of look I had on my face, but he told me this. He said, "Did you know that less than 0.5% of people are absolutely essential?" And I got the message. God's able. He really don't need none of us, does he? But he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. I had a black nurse's aide to come in, and she was a wonderful Christian young lady, and I give her some CDs. She came in one day and she said, "Preacher, you know, God didn't make us to live here forever." And I said, "I know that. Thank the Lord that, you know, He's a good God." And she said, "You know, everybody goes through some stuff. Every one of us. All of a certain amount of stuff that everybody's going to go through. Good stuff, bad stuff, a lot of bad stuff." She said, "But you know, when we get through going through all the stuff that God wants to go through, He'll take us to heaven." And I said, and then here's what she said, "And so it is what it is." And I thought, what a blessing. It is what it is. It, whatever we go through, it just is what it is. It's what God's plan for us is. And He's got a wonderful plan. God has a plan for all of us. I want to draw a few little lessons, if I could, quickly. There was a point in this time that I was absolutely helpless. I could not walk. I could not lift my right arm. I was absolutely helpless. They had to pick me up and move me place. And for several days, really, I was like that, helpless. And you know what the Word of God teaches? That you and I are basically helpless. In this same text I just read to you, will you look down there, please, and notice what it says in this passage of Scripture? He said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, delivered me out of all my fears. They looked unto Him and were light. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him." You know what that word "poor" means? It doesn't mean he doesn't have any money. It means he has absolutely nothing. It means he's destitute. He's destitute of wisdom knowledge, direction. He's destitute of physical abilities, but more especially, he's destitute of spiritual abilities. He's absolutely helpless. And when we see ourselves like that, there is a very present help in a time of need. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And sinners are absolutely helpless to save themselves. Not one thing they can do to save themselves, but He is a God of grace and a God of glory. And He has something for us. I did not understand until after I was much better, several days after the crisis time had passed, how really sick I was. In the hospital, I began to get some idea of how critical I was and how close I was to dying. And there was a couple of 3 days like that. And since I've been out of the hospital and going back and forth my infusions and talking with the doctors, I found out that I was what they call septic, which means that the blood, the poison was all in my body. They constantly were checking my organs to make sure that it had not destroyed them and make sure it was not there. And you know, not until I got saved did I realize how really sick I was. Since I've been saved, I realized how lost I was. I realized how close to hell I was. I realized how wicked I was. And you don't not really understand how lost you are until you get saved. And that's why you begin to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. And thank God for that. My dear friend, He's a God of grace and a God of glory. I was absolutely helpless. I had to have some help. And I'm glad that God put some good people in my way that helped me, and they were a blessing to me. And I thank the Lord for that. When I was so very sick and all those things were going on in my body, I was cold about all the time. And since I've got out of the hospital, I stay cold all the time. I about froze, I burnt Regina up. I get cold. But there's something cold about sin, isn't it? And you know what the Bible talks about when we are saved, that we can, our hearts can get cold. God needs to tender our hearts and bring us to that place. And you know, as I was in a state of recovery, and when I was so sick, nothing tasted right. But now that I've got better, I'm afraid it tastes too good now. A little bit of weight I lost in the hospital, I've already gained the biggest part of that back. And if I'm not careful, I'll double it. So I got to start backing up. But you know, when you're not right with God and you're out of fellowship with the Lord, nothing's right. You know, your relationship with mom and dad's not right. Your relationship with husband's not, wife's not right. Relationship with other Christians not right. When you're out of sort with God, nothing's right. You can't taste anything. Nothing's good when it's like that. And what a joy to know that He's a God of grace and glory. I want you to turn in your Bible, please. And I just want to read a verse to you here in the book of Romans. If you look over in the book of Romans, find Romans chapter number 11. I'll read this to you. Everything God's ever done in my life or your life was all for His glory. I kept waiting for the big revelation, Brother Carey. I kept waiting for that light to come on. I kept waiting for something, you know, dramatic to happen, kind of like a, you know, Mount Sinai or some other experience where, you know, thunder and lightning and all that with Elijah and all those other things. But nothing like that never happened. Nothing like that ever happened. The last message I ever preached in this pulpit before I went to hospital was on the Word of God and how important it is to have the Word of God in your heart and life. For several days I couldn't read. For several days I couldn't write my journal. But the Word of God was in my heart. I don't even remember praying specifically to be healed for several days there. I prayed a lot for Regina, prayed a lot for my family, prayed a lot for the church. But over and over again, I didn't have to. I didn't have to try to think about verses. I didn't try to have to bring up verses. But God put verses in my heart. I mean, it just began to just real to me. And listen, when I listen to the singing on the internet, and when God's let me come to the service and hear the singing, I'll tell you something. It was great. But can I tell you that when I was in intensive care, sometimes wasn't sure if I was in the world or out of the world, I could hear you singing. I could hear the choir, Brad. I could hear you singing the midnight cry. I could hear Chuck singing, "I choose." I don't know what it is. What is that song Chuck sings about? "I choose to..." Boy, on singing that night, that blessed my heart. I could hear Joe Barrett, hear all of you singing. And it just like I was here. I mean, I was in intensive care, but I could hear. Boy, I'm sure glad that the music I had in my heart was what God, the Holy Ghost, had let me hear around here. And I'm glad I didn't have to, Blueberry Hill. I'm glad that's not the first thing come to my mind. I'm glad that God brought those songs back. I'm glad that the verses were live in my heart. Look in the book of Romans, if you will, please. Romans in chapter number 11. Look at verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable of His judgment and His ways are past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? For who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. He is in control. He's in control of everything. He says in the book of Deuteronomy, the heavens are mine. He says in the book of Psalms that all the fowls of the earth are His, the cattle and everything that's in this world. Everything belongs to Him. He's a great God. He lets men you breathe His air, live in His earth and eat His vegetables. Thank God for that. He's a great God, and He owns everything. Everything belongs to Him. Oh, the Bible said, think about His knowledge and wisdom. What does He know? He knows the past, history, present, and also the future. Knows it all. Knows everything. Knows all about it. His wisdom's past understanding. We can't comprehend it. He knows everything in what we'd call the micro. He knows all the atoms. He knows how many cells are in your body. He knows your DNA. He knows all about you. He knows the very hairs of your head are numbered. He knows every one of them. His knowledge is just unreal. There's no way to comprehend the knowledge of our God. He knows all those little minute details. But He knows everything else. He knows all the stars. He calls them all by name. We don't even know how many there are, but He knows all the stars. He knows every one of them. He knows all the fowls of the air, every one of them. He knows everything. He knows the past, the present, the future. His wisdom is past finding out. He knows absolutely best for every one of us. And we can trust Him. He's a great God, and He loved us. And you know what? Everything that's ever happened in the Bible, everything that you read in this Bible was all for His glory. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt His name together. Everything in this Bible, everything was created for His glory. Every act that He ever did for Israel, He says that it was for His glory, for His name. When He hardened Pharaoh's heart, that was for His own glory. When He fed them the manna in the wilderness, that was for His glory. Everything He ever did was for His glory. But when you come to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, Father, I have glorified Thy name. And Jesus Christ came to glorify the Father. And you and I are to glorify the Father. It says in the book of Ephesians that when we get saved, it is to the praise of the glory of His grace. Our salvation, while it benefited us so have all our sins forgiven, heaven's our home, we'll live there for all eternity. It's all for the glory of God. And when we stand before the throne one day, redeemed and washed white through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we won't have anything to boast of. It's all Him. He gets all the glory. Brother Tom Wagner preached here in the church, and he talked about the Lord's Prayer. I've tried to do that. I don't know if you have or not, but every morning when I kneel to pray now, I think, first of all, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then a little bit later in that prayer, Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. It's all about His glory. It's to glorify Him and magnify Him. His saving us was for His glory. His giving us the minister of the Holy Spirit of God to lead us is all for His glory. The Bible said that our lives ought to be lived to glorify Him. He said a very simple passage of Scripture for me and you to understand how it's all about. He said that when we live our lives and we live under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God, that men see our good works and glorify Our Father which is in heaven. Our Christian living is to glorify God and bring glory to Him. The second coming of Christ is all about His glory. It's Him coming back in glory to receive His saints. Coming back in judgment that He might get glory. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. He'll get all the glory. Oh, magnify His name. Oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt His name together. What a wonderful name it is, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? The consummation of all things, the new heaven, the new earth, everything is for His glory. And thank the Lord for that. Man's duty, our only duty, once we've been saved, is to give Him glory and magnify Him, to yield to Him, surrender to Him. And in everything that happens in our life, we give Him all the praise and honor and glory. He deserves it. He's honoring it, and there's no way we could ever. I wrote a little note in my Bible one time that said this: any glory to man leaves not enough for God. He gets all the glory. And thank God for Him and for what He's done. He's a great God. But can I tell you what just really astounds me about the God who owns everything and the God who knows everything and the God who can do anything? Is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what it's all about. For His glory, He gave His Son, that you and I might have all of our sins forgiven and be in heaven for all eternity. What a wonderful thing to know that. I want to tell you, I don't know how to express to you again my gratitude for what God's done and for how the Lord's used you to bless my heart and life. But I want to say this: in everything that you and I do, He ought to get all the glory. He's worthy of it. Will you bow with me in prayer? I'm thankful this morning for the presence of the Lord. Thank God for the wonderful singing already. God touching Brother Gary and blessing our hearts, for the choir and the congregation of singing. And thank God for His presence. I didn't realize how sick I was. How sick I've been. Never had one fear of dying. Truth be known, I never thought I was going to die. Because in all that was going on, though mentally I wasn't sure, my emotions were run the gamut up and down. Down deep in my soul was a quiet, settled peace that He was there. Regardless of what was going on, I knew He was there. And I'm going to tell you something. For everything that happens in our lives, if you know that, you can just resign yourself to His will and you can just rest and trust Him. But you must know that. You must know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He's with you. If you don't know that this morning, you can know it. I was blessed by all the cards. But some of you I know have been saved a long time. Some not saved so long. But I appreciated every card. Brother Ricky McGee and Becky wrote to me several times. And I think about what God's done for Ricky and for Becky. So many of you that I've seen God do things in your life. And I thank God for that. He gets all the glory for that. That's a great God who could do that, to give that peace of God that passeth all understanding. If you don't have that peace this morning, you'll not have it until you have the Prince of Peace. He said, I'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on Me. That's in the book of Isaiah. And what it means is this. That word stay means to trust Him completely. When you understand that He owns everything, He's in control of everything, He's got all wisdom, got all knowledge, no need me trying to figure it out. I'm just along for the ride and know that He's got everything well in hand. Maybe what my nurse said one time, part of that stuff, Some good stuff, some bad stuff. But when we go through all that stuff, we'll end up in heaven one of these days. That'll be all right. You might be going through some stuff right now you don't understand. We've got a lot of church family, and I've prayed, and I don't understand it. I don't have any answers. As long as I've pastored and preached, I can't explain some of the things going on in some of your lives right now. Other than this, all the riches of the knowledge and wisdom of our Lord. He knows best. Don't understand it, but I know He knows best. As I talked to Brother Randy is good friends with Tony Green, as I was. Randy spent some time down there and talked with the family and talked with some of the doctors, I think. What went on in my life and my body, the same thing went on in Tony's body. And why I'm standing here and Tony's in heaven, I don't understand. But He's a good God. I'm thankful for what He's done in my life. But if you don't know Him this morning, you can know Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to stand together. Maybe you're a Christian. You don't know what, you don't understand it. I'm just telling you. Through all of this, I don't have any definitive answers. I don't have any idea why. My heart is rejoiced to see Brother Tim as he's led this ministry and all the men, how people have stepped up and how God's blessed, and for your faithfulness. As we watched the internet and saw you in the house of God, we talked about who was here and who wasn't here, and God's blessed. We understand that it's not me, it's not Tim, not Brad, it's the Holy Ghost. He's in control. But maybe this morning you're going through some thing, you've been trying to figure it out. I'll tell you something. I don't think you can. But I tell you what you can do. He said, I'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on me. If you just come to the place where you say, God, you get all the glory. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And I yield totally to that. And whatever you want done, God, I'm for it. And I will trust you. David learned to do that. Job learned to do that. I've quoted over and over again what Job said, and I've told you I don't understand it. I've never been there. But can I tell you? I have been there. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm thankful that you can trust him in the darkest night. That won't make the pain go away. That won't make the rashes go away. That won't make the needles any less sharp. But there'll be a deep, settled peace in your heart. And he gets all the glory. I don't know what you need to do this morning. I didn't even know what I was supposed to do when I came. But I want you to honor him. I want to tell you this morning, just as sure as I'm standing here, as far as I know, everything I've ever preached to you from the Bible was true. You can trust him. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can trust that. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear any evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. My dear friend, he's with you if you've been saved. If you're not saved, you need him. You need him. Right now, I don't know what you need to do, but I want to extend the invitation. Brother Tim's going to be here at the front. If I can help you pray with you, I'd be glad to. Brother Tim's going to greet you this morning. If he'll pray with you, he'll get somebody to pray with you. I want you to obey Christ. Heavenly Father, in the strong name of Jesus now, I pray you'd get glory. God, help men and women, boys and girls to do now what they'll be glad for all eternity they've done. If they're not saved, God, by your grace, that you'd get glory. For your honor and glory, I pray, God, if there's anybody here lost, that you'd save them for your glory. In the ages to come, they'd magnify your grace and acknowledge the fact it had nothing to do with the preacher, had nothing to do with the singing, had nothing to do with me. It had all to do with the grace and the glory of God. And God, I pray this morning for God's dear people who are here, whose hearts are restless. They don't understand all going on in life. God, I pray you'd speak that sweet peace to their heart and know that we got so much stuff to go through, and when we get through it, we'll be in heaven.